To call the February 13th meeting of the Laws, Rules, and Government Services Committee to order. Roll call by Deputy Clerk.
Chair Kovacs.
Here.
Deputy Chair Levine.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris.
Yes.
Legislator Hanson.
Here.
Legislator Harmon.
Present.
Legislator Kitchen. Legislator Uchitel.
Here.
And Chair Criswell.
Here.
We have 7 members present, 1 absent.
Thank you. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Okay, approval of the minutes from December 12th, 2024. Is there
a motion to approve the minutes of the December 12th, 2024 meeting?
Is there a second? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, minutes approved. I want to welcome everyone to the first meeting of 2025 for this committee. I would like to acknowledge Chair Criswell. I appreciate the appointment as chair of this committee, and I appreciate your confidence in me. Also, I acknowledge Deputy Chair Levine. Thank you. And our clerk, Jay Mullen. And minor change from last year, I want to reflect that the Human Rights Department has been shifted to the Health, Human Services, and Human Rights Committee. And we have added the Department of Risk Management, which is the former safety office, the insurance department. They are under our committee's jurisdiction. Resolutions for the February 18th session of the legislature. Number one, Resolution 553, adopting proposed local law number 9 of 2024, local law providing real property tax exemption of the county portion of the real property taxation and special ad valorem levies for the creation of new accessory dwelling units. It's been a while, so some background. This has been postponed a couple times at the request of Planning Director Doyle. We spoke to the Planning Director a week ago, and he would like us to postpone it again. On that as well, the County Attorney's Office requested some amendments unrelated to Director Doyle's amendments, and that is Section J of the legislation. Basically, the county attorney's office is their revisions simply reflect that you would file the request for an exemption with the assessor of your city or town, and the form would be prepared not by the county but by the New York State Department of Taxation. I think they're very fair and reasonable amendments. Any questions?
Just had a quick question. I can't remember if the charter speaks to the number of times that something can be postponed.
Three. I believe it's three.
It's your rules, and it is cannot remain in committee more than 90 consecutive days, but without consent. We've considered, since it was at the request of Doyle, that it's been consent.
I believe it's certainly. Thank you, Chair. Certainly on consent. So I'm looking for a motion to amend the proposed local law presented with the changes by the county attorney's office.
I'll move the amendment.
Second. Second. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Opposed, seeing none. So the local law is amended. The proposal is amended. I would request a motion to postpone one more time to the March meeting.
Can I just add so what are we exactly waiting on from the planning department?
So the director's issue is that the proposed local law does not comport with the state law, which is real property law section 421. It has to deal with short-term rentals. The proposed local law in front of you says that we cannot, that this exemption does not apply if you use the accessory dwelling unit for a short-term rental.
Right. And the version, do we know if the version that the city of Kingston passed had such an exception in it?
I can't speak to that.
Yeah. And was that something that we added specifically that was different than, because my understanding is we were opting in to the, you know, we were merely trying to opt in, but are we trying to go above and beyond as well?
So I read the original, I read the real property section, real property tax section 421, and it doesn't speak to short-term rentals. That's my view of it. And the law that was presented to us originally did have the restriction on short-term rentals.
Right. So this is something that the planning department added in?
It came to you this way. And what Dennis's problem specifically is that the last part says, blah, 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 the exemption granted pursuant to this law shall cease. And he's saying that the state law doesn't allow you to call back an exemption once you grant it.
But yeah, but this is like novel language that it potentially doesn't comport with the state law. Who introduced the novel language?
Wasn't anybody on this committee.
Right. Okay. So what is our, like, because I'm just trying to figure out, like,
who introduced this law?
It was the planning department.
Right. So I think the planning department came up with this.
Right.
And they also now have problems with how they did it. Yeah. And so they're trying to fix. That's okay. Been my understanding.
Can I ask the chair to the deputy executive, is that an accurate representation?
I don't know.
Okay. Because if this is an example,
this is something that, like, my, local municipality has passed and has reached out to me, to ask that we would do the same. So it's an issue that I'm tracking, and if it's languishing, which it appears to be, then that's frustrating. And so I would love to know the answer to that. Thank you.
Yep. So I understand that we can't, there's no backseas, to use the really, really technical terminology.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is why we would want there to be, when we've worked so hard in so many ways to create additional affordable housing, which preventing short-term rentals means we're consistent with. So, like, this just to me feels like just being consistent with our existing choices. Am I missing something?
Well, I think it's a legal question whether we can actually insert this language into the local law. It's not exactly congruent with the state law that was presented. And then once you grant that, there's no way to retract the exemption. So that I think it makes it kind of difficult to enforce at the local level, at the town level. You're going to have town assessors and building inspectors fielding complaints about this. And do we want that? It's a policy decision for us.
Yes. I think if there's a legislator or legislators who would like to work on this, I'm sure that would be welcome. There has been the sense that the legislature does sometimes want to address short-term rentals in different ways and perhaps not grant certain benefits. So I think there was a good faith effort here to anticipate a concern, but if that's causing us not to have any of the benefits of going forward, it might be that legislative input on that would be very welcome.
Yeah, I'm just worried that what's actually happening here is a communication breakdown.
Yeah,
and that we gave input, and now that input is meant to circle back to us, and we're circled back to us in this form, and we don't know what to do with it now. And I just want to get on the same page. So.
I think, one more postponement is reasonable, and then otherwise we should vote on it next month.
Yeah.
Let's later answer.
I think postpone.
Motion to postpone. Is there a second? Second, Mr. Gavaris. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes.
Closing none. Okay.
I'm going to change my vote to voting no on it. Just to make sure.
Very good. All right.
I'm going to then record this as being postponed without consent. Sure.
It's not there.
Yep.
Okay. No. Number two is resolution number 709 of 2024, establishing a policy for legislator public accessibility. This was introduced by Legislator McCullough at the December meeting, and it was postponed to this month. Any discussion? Leslie Levine.
Thank you. Seeing as the sponsor is not here to answer any questions or provide any information as to, if this has been altered in any way since we had debated it or considered it at the last meeting,
mm-hmm.
I would move to postpone to next month for this resolution.
Okay. Is there a second? Second. Any further discussion?
There's another discussion. I would really love for there to be a conversation that includes like our staff here, because I think a lot of this resolution is around like the tools that we have, and so I just wanted to say that that's like I would love this to come to us in a form that like our staff feels really good about as well. I think that's like this is kind of unique in that way.
Certainly, Mr. Collins.
I've made a request for staff to look into solutions, as a matter of fact, for that exact reason, because I think there's solutions we can just pick up. So don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion on the motion to postpone? All in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? Opposed, seeing none. Okay. Resolution 67, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to sign an agreement with the New Paul Central School District for the use of polling equipment and material. Any discussion? Motion to approve? Is there a second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Resolution is approved.
You were here if you needed
that. I'd like to compliment you on your perfect advocacy.
Resolution 68, adopting proposed local law 12/2024, local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster in relation to certain employment restrictions. This was introduced by legislators Maloney and Stewart. We had a public hearing on December 17th. There were no speakers. This would amend the code to increase the prior employment restriction from 1 year to 2 years. Discussion. Is there a motion? Let's hear your hands up. Motion to approve? Motion to approve. Is there a second? No, second it. On the motion, any further discussion? Let's do a roll call on this.
Sure.
Yes.
Did I just say one?
Absolutely.
I would just say that having looked at this law and been present for the public hearing, I still don't feel that I've heard any explanation of the benefit of this law. So if it's moving forward to go out and the full body take a vote on that, I don't oppose that. But I think that it is worthwhile this if those that are supporting this want to articulate what they think the benefit is. I still haven't heard something that seems to me to warrant our current law or this expansion of our current law.
Thank you. I would note that neither of the sponsors of this resolution are here, but I am comfortable going ahead with the vote on this. Any further discussion? Chair Criswell.
I wasn't going to speak on it, but I am. So I also think that this is a restriction that is antiquated. It predates our current form of government. It was actually created, I think, in a targeted political way to specifically look at one person who had been the legislator and then became a staff person. It is known by her name. I'm not going to say her name to put her in the conversation, but it's known by her name. And so I think any sort of legislation that targets one individual, rather than looking at the greater whole, how we're serving our constituents, is ill-conceived.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it, and I think we should defeat this.
Thank you. I do believe that 2 years is a long time to wait. There's a lot of talent sometimes in the legislature, and if they could work with the county position, to wait 24 months is kind of problematic. I think as we've seen recently at the federal level, there's been senators who have been appointed to the cabinet, better or for worse. And 2 years seems kind of doesn't make sense. Those are your various.
Yeah, I think the talent part,
honestly don't even know if we should have any restrictions on time, because you want the best candidate for the job. And whether that's from this body, from wherever that person may come from, you want the best. I understand it can be politicized, and of course that's a risk, but I think we hurt ourselves by not availing us to the best talent that we can get. That's the word you used, and I agree. It's a talent I really look for.
We do need to make sure that we have the appropriate talent. And one of the erroneous, as I understand it, reasons and rationales for this was that we were preferencing people from our body for high paying positions that they wouldn't otherwise get. But that's a faulty premise when people take pay cuts to serve. So, you know, serving seems to be at the forefront, and you can politicize waiting as much as you can politicize not waiting. So that doesn't really hold either.
Let's do Nolan.
So anticipating the next resolution, which would put forward a local law that would remove this restriction entirely, I would just also say that the premise that I see in this restriction is based on an analogy with the corporate for-profit sector, in which these kinds of waiting periods are often recommended, or in circumstances where someone may have some kind of privileged information that needs not to be used illicitly. In this case, the legislature and the executive's office and any other branch of Ulster County government are part of the same organization. So this, to me, is much more like a lateral transfer, in which the shared the information and experience of the candidate continues to benefit and may benefit in a more robust way. So I won't have to say that again, at the next resolution, but it seems to fit with what people are saying here.
I just want to add that there is also one more check and balance that we haven't talked about, which is that we approve appointments. Mm-hmm. So why would you? Well, what is this for? We already have the power to say, no, this isn't an appropriate candidate, or this is the right candidate. That's the meaningful.
Any further discussion? All right, let's do a roll call.
Tavares.
No.
Hansen.
Yes.
Harmon.
No.
Levine.
Nay.
Yuchitel.
No.
Kovacs.
No.
Criswell.
The motion is defeated. 1-6.
Mm-hmm. Resolution. Sorry.
Were you a yes? No.
Resolution 69, adopting proposed Local Law 13 of 2024, Local Law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code to remove certain employment restrictions. This was introduced by Legislator Nolan. Public hearing was held December 17th. There were no speakers. This would eliminate completely the prior employment restriction that is presently at 1 year. Legislator Nolan, you're here if you'd like to comment on this.
I think the prior discussion covers the rationale for introducing this, and I strongly urge you to support it. I think, as Chair Criswell just pointed out, we have other mechanisms to bring to play if we think that there's a problem with somebody whose appointment we're asked to confirm.
Thank you.
My personal comments on this, I will be opposing this. I do think the one-year restriction is fair and reasonable. I think that the optics of a legislator being elevated to a county position, I think it violates the public trust. I recognize that there is incredibly talented legislators. I just think 12-month period is fair and reasonable. But I certainly respect where you're coming from, Legislator Nolan. And I don't believe there are equivalent restrictions in Congress or in the state government. Perhaps there should be. But we've all talked about this quite a bit. Any further discussion? Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. I agree with many of the statements that you just made on this in regards to, I have gone back and forth on this. I do believe that the previous resolution was too onerous in terms of the restrictions that it would have put on for a 2-year ban on unemployment. However, I do share the concerns of the optics of the so-called quote unquote revolving door of somebody going straight from a position as an elected legislator to a staff member in the county. I do think that necessarily is not the best optics if somebody goes directly from an elected position to working for the county. So I'm going back and forth on this. I don't necessarily think that there's an issue with the current system. I think 1 year is a fair compromise on this. However, I do think for the purposes of today, I believe I'm going to be voting yes on this to get this out of committee, but I am still undecided on this, on how I'm going to be voting on this, on this resolution if it goes to the floor. But I will support it for procedural purposes in committee. But that's kind of how I feel about it.
Chair Criswell.
I just want to once again remind us that this was created at a difficult time when we had a different form of government. So it's actually not even applicable to how we operate now. It's a very different system where we receive appointments. And we have the ability now. We're not appointing ourselves. That's what was happening when this was created. We are now approving appointments that are brought in by someone else. So I think it's a very different scenario that we should really consider when this original restriction was created and put it in the context and then overlay it into the actual context of today.
Those are comments.
I think the chair mentioned an example earlier, which we can go back to. The president can nominate a senator to take office immediately, and no one seems to believe that's a conflict of interest, or no one seems to have an upset about that. This is, as Criswell said, this is right now a solution in search of a problem. The problem doesn't exist anymore because we do not appoint anymore. We approve. So I do believe that the old rule was useful in its time, but its time is over, and I don't think that rule applies anymore to this structure that we have in the county.
Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Did I get a motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's no motion. There's a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Javeris.
Yes.
Oops. Hanson.
No.
Terman.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Gina.
Yes.
I
can't
hear.
Levine. She
wouldn't
know.
No.
Gina voted
yes.
What did he say? Gina voted yes. I'm sorry.
To no, I guess. No.
She voted yes.
She voted no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't hear.
Want to go again?
Can we start over?
You have Gavaris as a no, Hanset as a yes, Harmon as a yeah. Other way around.
Confused.
Yep.
Let's start.
Gavaris is a yes, Hanset is a no, Harmon is a yes. You are a
no.
Levine.
Yes.
You should tell.
Yes.
Kovac.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
Motion is adopted. 5-3.
Okay. Resolution number 73, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 2025, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster in relation to legislator qualifications. Public hearing to be held Tuesday, March 18th at 7:10 p.m. Introduced by Legislator Collins. This would amend the Charter and the Code on legislator qualification to allow concurrent elective service as fire commissioner, school, or library board member. Current section prohibits legislators from holding any other elective office. And where we are, Legislator Collins is here. We'd like to say a few words about this.
Yeah, this is most specific offices tend to be volunteer positions in the sense they're not paid. And to me, serving on library board or school board is not a conflict of being a legislator. I don't know fire commissioner as well, but I assume it's the same. I've not been a fire commissioner. And I feel that as legislators, we are involved with our community. And being involved with our community, it's nice to be able to be on the library board, for example, or the school board. As you all may know, I was on the library board for Woodstock and had to resign that position because I became a legislator. There was actually people foiling the legislative, the county charter to see why I resigned, because they didn't believe I resigned for that reason. So I feel like these specific offices, it's reasonable to be part, to be both of. And of course, it's only these offices. It's not being a town clerk or a town, you know, anything else that's an actual real political position.
I have a question for council. I believe there's a provision under the education law of New York State that prohibits services if you're a school board member from holding any other elective office. Could you look into that for us for next month?
Yeah, definitely take that up. No problem.
You know, Leslie Collins, my concern is school board is a very important position, and to do that job effectively requires a great deal of work, almost as much as what we do here. So my concern is, can someone effectively serve in both of those offices? I'm not sure. Let's say to Gavaris.
That's fine. Yeah, I appreciate where you come from with this. I will say, whenever you have voting power over the budget of any organization, I think that's where the conflict for me comes in. It's not a matter of, you know, school board. I get it. You know, you're trying to do a good thing, and there is no real conflict, but it's where the fiduciary responsibility, now you are having the power of two organizations, that's where I get concerned.
Yes, remember prior conversations about, as we've been discussing the charter in various ways, where similar resolutions come up, and I've always supported it. Some of our smaller communities, it can be really helpful to them if they don't have sufficient candidate pool to have a legislator serve in these roles. I don't think that there is overlap of the pocketbook issues, and so I don't think there is a conflict of interest that comes up there. And so I think it's up to the individual person of whether they can handle the workload, and it's up to the voters of whether they find that that person to have too many jobs. And if they do, then they vote for somebody else. So I think our excluding somebody here doesn't have the usual grounds that it would. And I supported it in those conversations. In those conversations, it was with a whole lot of other proposed changes, so I really appreciate it coming forward now so we can look at just this question. But in the communities that we have, if we had, for example, a legislator who came from Denning, to say that that person couldn't be on the Denning school board or the school board for that district would be, I think, are deciding that we know better from a large distance, and I would rather let the communities right at hand make those decisions. They can do that through the ballot box.
I just wonder if there are any examples from other counties where this is successful, or if there's actually examples where this has been seen as problematic. It's just been any research done around that. I haven't done any on it, so.
To the sponsor, do you know why it was originally, have you looked into why it was originally in the charter in the first place?
It's a guess. My guess is that they were assuming all elective offices were ones that were connected. And these offices are somewhat disconnected from us. We do not have budgetary control over municipal libraries or schools. Or I don't think with fire commissioners either. Again, I'm not as familiar with that as I am with schools and library. We don't have any kind of, I mean, I literally, I was like, my first thing was, can I get more money for the Woodstock Library? And it's like, no, you can't. I mean, really, you can't. You can't, we can't do that. So it's not even a possibility. And I'm going to answer a question also. When I had to resign for Woodstock Library, there was a controversy that I was resigning for some, that people thought I was resigning for some unannounced reason. And I mistakenly said it was on the state, it was a state law instead of a county law. And they looked it up, and there is no state law preventing this. Mm-hmm. It's only our law that prevents this. So that's part of why I think it's okay to do, because the state does not say, doesn't have an opinion on this.
Mr. Collins, would you consider removing the board provision from this proposal?
That would support people's vote on this, I would be fine with that.
Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the question regarding school boards, I feel like there is some type of connection with school boards having to have a vote of, you know, a home rule request, basically for, like, for example, like SROs in certain communities, that district wants it. We have to vote, you know, the school board has to request it basically first, and then the county legislature has to approve it if it's going to be coming from the sheriff's office. So I feel like there is somewhat of a connection there, and, you know, that would be, I would be comfortable if as the chair asked, in terms of if we were removing school boards from this, I would feel much more comfortable moving this forward than if it was still included. I mean, obviously, most of us know that we have experience with this restriction. There's precedent of this in Ulster County, of a former member having to decide which office to he was going to be filling, basically, and he decided to step down from the legislature to take a school board position. So I just was wondering if you would be amenable to striking school board from this, and it would just make my support for this much easier to stomach.
What are your comments?
Yeah, I think with the school board, we could accuse the legislature could accuse if it's necessary, SRO request. I'm fine with removing it. I do hear the chair's thought that a school board position is very different, perhaps, than a library board position, as far as time and energy. I'm amenable doing it to removing a school board. So I don't want to. Since people have a thought about that, I'd like to hear.
Is there no one?
Well, I think we've already had the example cited that the legislator who had to resign, choose one or the other, and the community wanted that person in both roles, and we lost a good legislator, in my opinion. So I overall like to leave these kinds of decisions in the hands of the voters, unless there's an overriding reason. And I do think that it, you know, some matter that concerns a school board comes in front of the legislature, then that is a conflict, and that person abstains and recuses, and that's how we handle that. But that's not a very large overlap, you know, rare that a single vote would be decisive on those matters. So I think fire commissioners also, you know, occasionally there might be something if we were appropriating funds for the fire districts to have certain equipment or something. And I think it would be appropriate if the person has one bite at the apple that they not turn the apple around and bite on the other side. You know, that voting and the use of that power and authority is from one position, not from multiple positions.
Was it reverse?
Yeah, I think school boards are, it is the largest tax that our residents receive. I think it's highly powerful. In terms of a board, I think, you know, if the legislators' comments about, you know, let the voters decide, well, then let's have village trustees and let's have town councilmen on the legislature. If the voters want it, let it do it. I mean, there's reasons why we don't. And I think that, you know, the school board is my major hang up. And if that would be an amendment, I absolutely would be much easier to support if to move the school.
Those are comments.
I'll make an amendment to move school.
Your second?
Well,
yes. I thought that
was the second to let your answer. Discussion on the amendment to strike school board. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. The amendment is passed. Further discussion on the resolution. Chair Criswell.
We're setting a public hearing, so I'm all in favor of always setting a public hearing. Second.
Motion to adopt. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Opposed, seeing none.
Can I ask a question on the sponsor?
Yes.
If there's a way that you could get a little information about other counties, is this...
I'll look at that.
Resolution 80, amending the rules of order as they relate to the scheduling and rescheduling of legislative committee meetings. This is by Legislator Lopez. It amends the rules to require prior written consent from deputy committee chair before the committee chair can reschedule a meeting. Is there any discussion on this resolution? Joy Leader.
I don't think this is a good idea. I don't know what if there's an issue with the way things are currently. I would love to hear from the sponsor about that. But this would basically make it so that a committee chair cannot reschedule a meeting, makes it very hard to be a committee chair if you can't reschedule a meeting. I mean, there's a certain prerogative to being a committee chair that is important, and having, you know, the ability to run the meeting, having the ability to set the agenda, you know, having the ability to set the time of the meeting. Like, I think all of our committee chairs should, and I think they do, honestly, work well with all of their members, including their deputy chair. But we, you know, our norm in this body is to go out of our way to have bipartisan committee deputies. And if we were then going to set up this antagonistic thing where you can't reschedule a meeting without your deputy signing off on it, I would, if this passes on day zero, on day one, I'm asking Chair Criswell to give me a committee deputy from my party. And I think that this is a bad idea.
You know, I will say, I can only give the example of myself and Deputy Chair Levine. Last year, I was absent for July. I had a pre-planned conference, and Deputy Chair stepped in and ran the meeting, and worked out fine. There were no issues at all. We kept the meeting same time, same place, same location. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry.
Wanted to say, in my time as a legislator, I've never heard a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I would also, if I can just speak, yes. I would love to hear what the problem is that's being solved here. Like, I suspect this has to do with the health committee, just based on who sponsored this, who introduced this. And, like, we moved a committee meeting during budget season. We moved a few committee meetings to fit with executive budgets, and we moved one from one afternoon to another afternoon, and I don't know if that was the issue. I want to understand what problem this is solving.
And may I suggest, Majority Leader, if you were to speak to Legislator Lopez, and sure, that'd be great.
Postpone 1 month then.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Opposing none. I want to just update you. There are, you see, Resolution 470 and Resolution 54 were both postponed in their respective committees. We may see them next month. More importantly, on the floor for February 18th will be Resolution 676. This is a contract with Ulster County Community Action that will be on the agenda for February 18th. The living wage resolution will be on the agenda for February 18th. I don't know if Chair Criswell, you'd like to comment on that?
Thank you. Please. So I did send everybody a very detailed email regarding the work that the comptroller did, which I really appreciate the work that she did to better understand what any sort of financial implications this will have. I also spoke to the executives to talk about the youth internship programs. And so I think all that information that you got is very clear, and I hope that you decide to approve this.
Okay. And then finally, Resolution 688, which is the local law applying salary revisions for legislators, that will be on the agenda for February 18th. Mm-hmm. New business, I want to let you know that the Board of Elections annual report for 2024 has been uploaded to our committee's OneDrive. With that, is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second? Okay. All in favor? Thank you.